From Hollywood, California, we bring you Chapter 7 in the story of The Doctor of River's End.
The star of the show, Gene Herschelton, the greatest of all roles.
The title of the show, Dr. Christian.
The sponsor of the show, the Cheeseburger Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline.
The makers of Vaseline preparations who bring you these programs each Sunday afternoon have been making these famous home remedies for more than 50 years. Each Vaseline product is the best of its kind that can be produced. All Vaseline products are made with the same scrupulous care, sterilized in the process of manufacture, and packed in sterilized containers. So when you buy, be sure to look for the trademark Vaseline on the package. If you don't see it, you are not getting the genuine article. We take you now to River's End, to Dr. Christian's reception room, where Judy Price...
Dr. Christian's office? Oh, hello, Mrs. Tansy. No, Dr. Christian hasn't gotten back yet. All right, I'll tell him. What? Danny Barnes? Well, when did he get back? I'll bet River's End looks kind of tame to him after New York. Oh, that's right. Goodbye.
Morning, Judy. Is Doc in?
Not back from his calls yet.
Well, when he comes in, tell him I've got that thyroid extract for him. Oh, say, guess who was in the drugstore this morning? Danny Barnes.
I heard he was back for the holidays. How is he?
Well, you should have seen him. Spats and a punched-in suit and drove up in a big, expensive-looking car. I guess all those things he's been writing to Eloise Miller have been true, all right.
I never did hear what kind of business he was in.
Oh, some big trading corporation. Cleaned up a couple of $100,000, they say.
Ooh, he has done all right. And he's only been away 2 years.
Now, how old do you suppose he is?
Well, he was a year ahead of me when he had to leave high school, so he must be about a year older. That would make him, Oh, don't be so inquisitive.
Oh, say, Judy.
Oh, hello, Roy.
Say,
who
guess
do
who's
you
in
think?
Town?
I know. Danny Barnes is back.
Have you seen him yet?
No, but I've heard nothing else all morning.
Yeah, they were going to welcome him with a brass band, but they gave it up when they saw the necktie he was wearing. It would take too large a band to compete.
Well, anybody who can make $200,000 in 2 years is entitled to a little showing off.
Well, we all show offs, whether we do it with a loud necktie or a box of the opera. In fact, I've come to the conclusion that the human race is divided into two great classes, those who are vain and admit it, and liars.
Yeah. But I wonder just how Danny made his money.
Oh, bought some kind of stock, I imagine, and got a lucky break.
Well, it was about his turn to get a break. He didn't get many breaks around here. On his own since he was 15 years old, working at the garage at night so he could go to school in the daytime.
Yes, I guess he's got the right stuff in him at that. I never paid much attention to him when he lived here. Just seemed to be an ordinary young fellow.
Judy! Hello,
Eloise. Good
morning. Oh, Judy, I've got the most exciting news. Danny Barnes is back.
Danny Barnes? Who's Danny Barnes?
Why, don't you remember? He left here about 2 years ago and went to New York.
Well, what's so exciting about it?
Well, nothing, only he's come back to River's End.
Just to show off, more than likely. Don't you think so, Doc?
Sure, he's probably got such a fat head he can't take his hat off.
He hasn't. He called at our house last night.
And did he take his hat off?
Of course he took his hat off.
I was just telling Judy about the get-up he's wearing. Looks like Mrs. Whatchamacallum's plush horse.
That's all you know about it. His clothes are the latest New York style.
Everything for show.
Yeah, I bet his socks have holes in them.
They have not.
Why, Eloise, he didn't take his shoes off too, did he? Well, never mind, Eloise. We're only kidding you. Danny's a fine boy.
We know how it is, Eloise. And we're all for him.
Well, just the same, there are a lot of people around here who aren't. When he left River's End, they laughed at him. Said he'd be hitchhiking back. Now they're jealous because he's been successful.
Oh, no, Eloise.
Oh, but they did. You know they did. They made fun of him.
Sure, but now everybody's just as glad about his success as you are. Why, this morning, a half a dozen people stopped me on the street and...
Listen, I might be mistaken, but I... No, I couldn't be. There's nobody else in River's End who'd have the nerve to own an automobile horn like that. It's Danny.
That's right. Local yokel comes home. Hello, Dr. Christian. How are you?
I'm fine, Danny. Just fine. You're looking pretty fine yourself.
Well, as the steeplejack said when he hit the pavement, it's a hard world, but at last I've landed. Oh. Judy!
Hello, Danny. Welcome home.
Say, you look sweet enough to eat.
Oh, I do eat. 3 times a day.
Oh, you're lucky.
Lots of people are so hungry that if they don't get something to drink, they won't have any place to sleep tonight.
You say the funniest things, Danny.
Oh, think nothing of it, kitten. Quick-witted Willie, they call me. Well, Dr. Christian, what's all the latest scandal around River's End?
Oh, nothing much. Things are about the same. Well, tell us about yourself. I've been hearing all kinds of fine things about you. What have you been doing?
Oh, one thing and another. Right now, I'm a director in a corporation whose product is pushed all over the world.
Well, you don't say.
What do they make? Baby buggies.
Oh.
Well, Dr. Christian, I just got in last night, and, well, there are a lot of people I want to say hello to. I'll see you again, huh?
Yes, sure, and come in anytime, Danny. Oh, how long are you going to be in town?
Well, just over Christmas. I have to be back in New York by January 2nd for a director's meeting.
Oh, did you drive out from New York?
Mm-hmm.
How was it? You find good meals along the road?
Nope, only in restaurants. Come on, kitten. Oh. I've got an extra seat in the car that'll just fit you. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye, Danny. Oh, wait a minute. I almost forgot what I came in for. I'm giving a party for Danny Tuesday evening.
For me? Well, say, gee, that's swell of you, Eloise, but... Well, you don't have to do anything like that.
I want to do it. And I want you all to come. Will you?
Why, of course.
Sure, thanks.
I may be a little late, but I'll be there.
Oh, that's swell. I'll see you all Tuesday. Come on, kitten.
Say, Danny.
Yeah?
You didn't make your money pushing those baby buggies personally, did you?
Oh, no. A fella couldn't make any money that way. Our buggies are freewheeling.
Ouch!
I guess Danny is in what they call an infant industry.
Before we take you to Eloise's party, I have a word for the girls who like to set the pace. The smart hairdo this season is high and close to the head, hair brushed off the face and upwards from the neck, even in back, and every lock ending in a sleek, sculptured curl placed just right to emphasize the shape of your head or the line of your jaw or the set of your ear. That's all very well, I hear you say, but how do you keep it that way? Fortunately, we have the answer for you. When your hair is ready to be dressed, brush a little Vaseline hair tonic on it, lock by lock. Then shape each curl and fasten it in place with a bobby pin. Vaseline hair tonic is an ideal dressing for this purpose. It is clear as crystal, completely colorless, and so can be used on blonde or white hair as successfully as on dark hair. Basically, however, you need to do more than use Vaseline hair tonic as a dressing. Give your scalp a thorough massage with the tonic at least once a week before your shampoo. Vaseline hair tonic comes in two sizes, priced at 40 and 70 cents. The 40-cent size will give you 6 to 10 massages, as well as daily hair grooming. So you see how economical it is. Let us join the crowd at Eloise's party for the returned hero, Danny Barnes.
Well, here I am, Judy. I hope I'm not late.
Not too late, anyway. People are still coming.
Yes, my goodness, it looks as if everybody in town is here tonight.
Have you learned your speech?
I think I know it. I've got it right here in my pocket, and I thought maybe there'd be time for you to run over it with me.
That's a good idea. Let's go out in the hall.
Mm-hmm.
Let me have it.
Let's see. What did they do with it?
Oh,
I know I've got it here someplace. Oh, here. You just take it, and if I make a mistake, tell me.
All right. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. How does it start?
Friends of...
Oh, yes. Friends of River's End. I have been chosen this evening. To present to Danny Barnes a little gift representing...
Oh, hello, Dr. Christian. Enjoying yourself?
Oh, hello, Eloise. Yes, having a fine time.
You haven't forgotten about...
No, I've... I'll be there when the time comes.
All right. I'll let you know when we're ready.
Sure, that's what I thought.
Give me that start again, will you, Judy?
Friends of River's End.
That's right. Wait. Friends of River's End. I've been chosen this evening to present to Danny Barnes a little gift.
Quite a turnout in Danny's honor, eh, Doc?
Yes, it's a little different from the old days.
They're hanging on his words like the man on the flying trapeze. Now, come on, let's go outside and have a smoke.
Oh, I'll be out with you in a little while, Roy.
Okay.
Now, where was I?
Just being chosen for the third time.
Oh, yes, yes, sure. I have been...
Oh, wait a minute. Here's Danny. Well, how does it feel to be important?
Oh, this is nothing. Wait till I really hit my stride. By the time I'm 40 years old, I won't take my hat off for any man.
How will you get your hair cut?
I won't. I'll be bald.
Why did you go back and settle down in River's End, eh?
No, Dr. Christian, I don't think so. New York's my town. I love it. Oh, not that I've got anything against River's End. It's a nice little place for a trip or something like that. But to live here, nah. Now I'll never come back. There's nothing here to interest me.
What about Eloise?
Oh, well, Eloise is just a friend.
Well, that's not her idea. If I remember, it wasn't yours either before you went away.
Oh, Judy, now, Eloise is a swell kid, but... Well, there's some things I can't explain now, and I got to get back.
Well, good evening. Good evening.
Good evening, Judge Coburn.
Oh, hello, Judge. You remember Danny Barnes?
Oh, to be sure I do. And, Mr. Barnes, I don't need to say that River's End is proud of you.
Well, thank you.
Oh, not at all. I've been looking forward to asking you for a bit of advice. Now, as a man in touch with industrial and financial conditions, what is your opinion of Eureka Gas and Electric?
Well,
In other words, if you were a man of modest means, would you consider a safe and profitable investment?
Well, now, Judge, I'm going to give you a hot tip.
Hmm? Oh, yes. Well, wait a moment. I'll just jot it down here. Dr. Christian, have you a pencil?
I have a fountain pen. A good one, too.
Mm, thank you. Yes, now...
By Cupid Vending Machine.
Cupid Vending Machine? Well, I never heard of it.
Yes, what is it, Danny?
It's something new, and a sure winner. Now, look, every day thousands of people get married. To be married, you have to get a license, and to get a license, you have to go through a lot of red tape.
Yes.
With the Cupid Vending Machine, you simply put your money in a slot, push a lever, and out comes your marriage license.
Hey, you've got something there.
Well, it's the greatest invention in the world. You put your dollar in the machine and get a wife.
Yeah, but it isn't legal.
Okay, then we'll just reverse it. You put your wife in the machine and get a dollar. You can't lose.
Oh, Dr. Christian, we're ready now. Everybody in the living room. Don't forget now, the minute Danny gets through, you make your speech. Where's the present?
Eloise has it. She'll bring it in.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've all heard the expression about a prophet being without honor in his own country. Well, that isn't true, because we're here to honor one, Danny Barnes.
Danny!
Well, in some ways, I might be a great prophet, but as a speaker, I'm a total loss. Since I've been in town, I've been asked over and over again how it feels to be a success. Well, it feels great. It feels great because I've been able to prove to other people and to myself that I can put it over. And I'm going to go on keeping putting it over, too. When I go back to New York, I'm starting out to make $10 million in 10 years. And I'll get it. Thanks.
Well, Danny, we hope you get the $10 million, but not the 10 years. Friends of River's End, I have been chosen...
Pardon me. Just a moment.
Well, what is it? What's the matter?
This gentleman wants to see you, Danny.
Are you Dan Barnes?
That's right.
From New York?
Yeah.
Where'd you get that car you're driving?
Why, I bought it, of course.
Oh, you did, huh? I've seen some pretty dumb clucks, but you aren't even smart enough to change the license plates.
What are you talking about? What's the matter with the car?
Nothing the matter with the car. It's the guy who's driving it. He stole it from a parking lot in Yonkers.
Stole it? Oh, I'm afraid you got the wrong person. Why, this young man is a very successful broker on Wall Street.
Broker on Wall Street? That's one for the book. Hey, you know who this guy is?
Now, wait a minute. Can't this be settled someplace else?
I'll say it'll be settled someplace else. I've got a warrant for your arrest.
He didn't do it. I know he didn't. Everybody knows he didn't. Then what do they keep him in jail for? Well, that's the way the law is. There's nothing to worry about. Dr. Christian went over to the county seat this morning to talk to the lawyers and see about putting up bail.
But why does Dr. Christian have to put up the bail? Danny has plenty of money. Why, he's rich.
I don't understand very much about such things, Eloise, but I do know it's going to be all right. Besides, Dr. Christian is a good friend of Judge Coven's. That's bound to help a lot.
Do you think Dr. Christian will be able to get Danny out?
Oh, I feel pretty certain of it. But even if he doesn't, it's only a couple of days till the trial. Danny won't be there long.
I went over to see him yesterday.
You did? What'd he say?
Nothing. He hardly talked to me. Just sat there. When I asked him something, he'd answer, and that's about all. Judy, Danny's changed somehow.
Well, you wouldn't expect him to be his old self under the circumstances.
I don't mean that way. He's been different ever since he came back.
I haven't noticed any difference.
Oh, he isn't any different when he's with a crowd, having fun and making wisecracks. But when we're alone, well, he just doesn't act like he used to.
How do you mean?
Oh, I can't explain exactly, but he always seems as if he were anxious to get away from me.
Oh, you're just imagining things.
No, I'm not. The night before the party, he started to tell me something. And then all of a sudden, changed his mind. I couldn't coax it out of him.
Well, a man has a right to change his mind.
I know, but I had a feeling he was going to tell me he'd met someone else. Someone he likes better.
Oh, listen. If a man wrote to me every week for 2 years, I'd say he was still pretty interested.
Judy, can you keep a secret?
That's part of my business. I work in a doctor's office.
Promise me you won't tell anyone? Not even Dr. Christian?
Yes.
Well, before Danny went away, he asked me to marry him. Of course, he was poor then. Didn't have anything. That didn't make any difference to me, but it did to him. He asked me if I'd wait for him. He said he knew he'd make good and he'd come back for me and...
Well, is that anything to worry about?
No, but since he's been back, he hasn't said a thing about it. Oh, Judy, do you think he really intends to marry me?
Well...
Why don't you answer?
Well, Eloise, that's a pretty hard thing to say. I don't know what's in Danny's mind. He seems very fond of you, but...
I know. You feel the same way as I do. Well, you're afraid to tell me. He doesn't care for me anymore.
Oh, now, don't start crying again. Here comes somebody.
I'm not going to cry. I haven't any more tears left.
Well, back already?
Dr. Christian, did you...
I had a long talk with Annie and his lawyer and everything will be fixed up. So you can go to him this evening and be happy. Any calls, Judy?
Roy Davis wants you to phone him. He'll be at the store till 5 o'clock.
Dr. Christian, did Danny...
Oh, my goodness, I've got to talk to Roy right away. I should have called him this morning. I forgot all about it. You run along, Eloise, because I'm going to be busy for quite a little while.
But I only wanted to...
Some other time, Eloise. I've got something on my mind now, so... But you run along. Everything will be all right.
All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Eloise.
Goodbye, Eloise. Judy, get Roy Davis on the phone right away.
Yes.
Never mind that call.
What?
I only wanted to get rid of her before she started asking questions.
Oh, is it that bad?
Yes, it's pretty bad. Danny refuses to accept bail.
Refuses? Why?
Well, he won't say. He won't talk at all. I spent 2 hours with him and couldn't get a thing out of him. I had to get back then in time for the office hours. Well, I'll go and see him again tomorrow.
But in 2 hours, you must have said something.
Yes. He admitted he stole the car.
What?
Well, there was nothing much use to denying it. The owner of the car is here and identified it. There's no question about that.
But I can't believe it.
Well, there it is.
They'll send him to prison.
His lawyer believes that he can get him up with a light sentence. The only thing is the prosecuting attorney is trying to hook him up with a gang of car thieves. Danny won't talk, won't deny it, even refuses to take the witness stand on his own behalf.
Dr. Christian? Do you suppose he could be a member of a gang?
Ah, no.
How do we know what he's been doing in New York? Only through what he's told us. That he's been in Wall Street and they found out that isn't true. Then how did he get his money? How is he able to dress the way he does?
I don't know.
And why doesn't he talk? Maybe he's afraid to. Afraid of what the gang will do to him.
Oh, he's not a gangster.
Well, even if he isn't, how is he going to look to the jury?
Yes, I know how it would look. It's an open and shut case for the prosecution right now. Armstrong will send him up for... Wait. What's the prosecutor's first name?
Philip, isn't it? Philip Armstrong?
Yes, that's it. Of course. He used to be a patient of mine. A long time ago when he lived here in River's End. Judy, look in the files. Get out the whole medical history of Philip Armstrong and his family.
His medical history?
Yes, yes, hurry. I think I've got an idea.
The next scene of our program takes place in Roy Davis' drugstore, where two girls have dropped in for hot chocolate.
Mmm, good, isn't it?
It would be if my lips weren't so chapped and sore. I can hardly eat anything.
Well, why don't you do something about it? The chapped lips, I mean.
Well, honestly, the first cold wind that blows, my lips get so chapped that nothing seems to do any good.
Vaseline camphor ice would help instantly. And it'll prevent chapping, too, if you use it before you go outdoors.
Maybe I ought to get a stick while I'm in here.
Why don't you? It costs only 10 cents.
I guess I will. And while I'm about it, I'll take home a tube of Vaseline jelly, too.
3 days later, Jean and Marion meet on the street. It has been snowing off and on all week in River's End, and today the wind is blowing a gale.
Hello, Jean.
Hello.
Gee, I nearly ran into you. Some wind, isn't it?
Sure is.
But I'm not afraid of getting chapped lips anymore, thanks to your reminding me of Vaseline camphor ice.
We take you now to the old courtroom of River's End, where Danny Barnes is on trial for stealing an automobile. Court has just convened after the noon recess, and Dr. Christian is about to be called as a witness for the defense.
You may resume, Mr. Armstrong.
Yes, Your Honor. Call Dr. Christian.
Dr. Paul Christian, raise your right hand. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
I do.
Be seated, please.
Now, Dr. Christian, when you testified this morning, you said you knew the defendant, Daniel Barnes, rather well.
That's right.
For a period of about 15 years.
Yes, sir.
But during that time, have you ever known him to display criminal tendencies?
Well, I wouldn't exactly call it a tendency. He only did it once and...
Did what?
Why, it hasn't anything to do with this automobile business. It happened a long time ago.
I'm asking you what he did.
Well, I'm sorry I mentioned it. I didn't mean to...
Will you please answer the question? What did he do?
He took some money from a bank.
A bank? You mean he robbed a bank?
Well, yes.
What bank? Well, answer the question. What bank?
His penny savings bank. He took the money to buy candy.
That may seem very amusing. But has it ever occurred to you, Doctor, that a person who takes little things will also take big things?
No, I hadn't thought about it.
Well, it's true. A man who takes anything, little or big, is a thief. And on proper consideration, I think you'll admit he's a thief. Do you trust people who take little things?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you do? Who, for instance? Danny Barnes?
No, Judge Colvin's there. The other night at the party, he took my fountain pen.
I'm sorry, Paul. I forgot to return it. Here.
Thank you.
Dr. Christian, you know, do you not, that the defendant, Danny Barnes, took an automobile?
Well, I didn't see him take it.
You're evading the question. Danny Barnes was found with an automobile in his possession. An automobile which plainly belonged to Mr. George Craig. The driver's license in the pocket of the car had Mr. Craig's name on it. Wouldn't you say Barnes had stolen the car?
No, I don't think I would.
Well, I certainly can't understand why not.
Well, it's just like the time I called at your house when you were sick and asked for a spoon to give you some medicine. The spoon had the name Palace Hotel on it.
Why?
But I wouldn't say that you stole it. No. That might have been your wife's maiden name.
Please, Dr. Christian, confine your answers to yes or no.
Yes, sir.
Now then, did you ever know Danny Barnes to be a member of a gang?
Well, I'd hardly want to.
Was he ever a member of a gang, yes or no?
Yes.
A gang organized for the purpose of stealing.
Well, I don't know what it was organized for, but
they did steal, yes or no?
Yes.
What did they steal?
Green apples. That was the same gang of boys your son belonged to. I treated them all for colic.
Your Honor, will you please instruct the witness to refrain from making irrelevant remarks?
Dr. Christian, suppose you tell the court what you know about Danny Barnes in your own words.
Thank you, Your Honor. Lots of times, appearances are deceiving. And it's been that way with Danny Barnes. 2 years ago, Danny went to New York. Before he left, he bragged a little about all the money he was going to make there. Well, we all like to brag. When he got to New York, he found out that making money wasn't so easy after all. He found out something else, too. that he was homesick and terribly lonesome for a girl in Riverside. But after all his bragging, he was afraid to come back and admit he'd failed. Afraid he'd be laughed at. Nobody likes to be laughed at. So he stayed on, getting more and more homesick all the time. At the parking place where he worked, a man had stored the car for the winter. Well, now if Danny could only take that car for just 2 weeks, he could go home, home for Christmas. He could go home and be back, and the man would never miss it. And he could make people believe that he was a success. So Danny did borrow it and bought some new clothes and came home for 2 weeks to see the people and the places his heart was sick for. Oh, of course he shouldn't have done it. But then all of us have been homesick, and most of us have been in love. And that's all, Your Honor.
Going back. He's going to stay right here in River's End. Where's Dr. Christian?
He's in his private office.
Call him. Call him.
Dr. Christian. Dr. Christian.
Yes? Did you call? Oh, Eloise. What's the news?
Oh, Dr. Christian. They've acquitted him. Oh,
of course. I knew they would all the time.
And especially after you looked up Mr. Armstrong's medical history. You did all right with that.
Well, I saw my big opportunity. You know, I got cheated out of making a speech at the party.
And if you hadn't told them what really had happened...
Oh, nonsense. I didn't have anything to do with it. Danny isn't a crook. They wouldn't have...
Danny! Oh, Danny!
Hello, kitten. Well, I guess I sure made a fool out of myself.
If all the people who have made fools out of themselves should suddenly drop dead, it would be the end of the human race.
Anyhow, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to face it. I'll work it out some way.
Sure you will. You know, if I had a son your age, I wouldn't worry if he'd made a mistake. I'd worry if he didn't. Because the chances are that he'd make a lot bigger one later. Oh, there's something I meant to ask you. Did you make any money at all in New York?
Well, I might as well start telling the truth right now. Not much, Dr. Christian.
No? Well, then here's a dollar.
Oh, but I'm not that hard up. What's it for?
Well, to drop into that Cupid vending machine you were talking about.
Program starring Gene Herschelt, beloved screen actor in the role of Paul Christian, the Doctor of River's End, are brought to you each Sunday afternoon at this hour to remind you that there is no more useful family of home remedies than Vaseline products. The most popular and widely used one is, of course, Vaseline Jelly, which is the family standby for first aid treatment of chapped, roughened skin, superficial cuts, burns, scalds, and other minor skin ailments. Keep a jar or tube handy at all times to enable you to avoid the delay in the treatment of minor wounds which invite infection. If the wound is penetrating, such as that caused by a nail, call the doctor at once. Vaseline Jelly is 10 cents a jar anywhere in this country. And by the way, mention of prices on this program apply only to the United States. Next week, the Dr. Christian program will come to you from New York City when Gene Herschelt will bring you another absorbing half hour of human drama. Gene Herschelt appears on this program through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. Arthur Gilmore speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.